The following program is paid for by CHI Mercy Health Mercy Medical Center. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Each weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, Talking Health, presented by CHI Mercy Health. Now, here's Talking Health with Lisa Platt on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome to Talking Health, and I'm your host, Lisa Platt, and today we are going to hear from the city of Roseburg and all of the health and wellness plans they have for us. So with us, we have Chris Ammerman, the Parks Program Manager, and Eric Johnson, City Communications Specialist for the city of Roseburg. And I want to welcome you both, and I got the names right. I know Johnson was hard, Eric.
You did it perfectly.
Perfect.
Thank you.
So, guys, thanks for being on the show today. And how we always get started is we want our audience to know a little bit about you. So, Chris, if you want to start, tell us a little bit about you and how you got to Roseburg.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. So I've been in my position currently with the city of Roseburg for 2 years. And before that, I was park superintendent. So I kind of transitioned into my role that I'm in now. And as park superintendent, you know, I was worked with the maintenance staff, and we were in charge of the day-to-day deliverables of the park system. And then now in my new role, it's more of the long-range planning and development of the park system. So I've really enjoyed that my whole time here, actually. And I'm from Cottage Grove originally, which is not too far up the I-5 corridor. And my first couple years, actually almost 3 years, I was commuting here. But I'm finally here with my family and settling in to Roseburg. So that's making life a lot better for me and my family. So
I bet. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Eric, what about you? Where are you from? How'd you get here? What exactly is a communications specialist for the city of Roseburg?
Well, those are all great questions. So let me start. So I am originally from Astoria. So I am a coastal boy. So I grew up in Astoria and graduated high school from there. Went to Oregon State University. Got my bachelor's in marketing and also my MBA. And then went back to the coast, worked for a couple of years at the Cannon Beach Chamber of Commerce as their executive director, did that for a few years, and then transitioned down to Lincoln City, where I worked for the city of Lincoln City as their public relations coordinator. I did public relations and communications specifically for the Visitors Bureau, which is now renamed Explore Lincoln City. So doing like tourism marketing things like sending out press releases, doing pitches to the news media, doing social media like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and also doing our monthly e-newsletter. Did that for about 5.5 years, and in that time, I started getting involved in other city departments, not just the Visitors Bureau. So the police department, I helped them with a social media campaign, working with the planning department and some other departments in the city. And as I started to do that, I gained an interest in municipal government and how that works and how that functions. And so flashback to about, let's see, last fall, I saw the position came available for a communication specialist with the city of Roseburg, and I applied for it, and now here I am. So communication specialist, what do? So I am the primary media contact for writers, reporters that are doing stories about the city. I do things like this, radio interviews with you right now. I also send out press releases. I manage our social media accounts, work on our e-newsletter, and some other duties as well. So that's kind of me in a nutshell, and thanks for having me.
Well, welcome. We appreciate all that you do for the city, both of you. Chris, tell me a little bit how you got involved with becoming first a superintendent of city and parks, now the program manager. I mean, it's a career, obviously. So what perked your interest in all of that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I guess my passions in life from a very early on were two things, sports and the outdoors. And so when I was attending Oregon State University, I realized there was this program that they had that could get me doing those things. And that was my degrees in horticulture. And my emphasis was in landscape, turf and landscape management. So at the time, I wanted to go into golf courses, and I did right out of school. I went and built some world-class golf courses and really enjoyed that. But then, you know, around 2006, the economy started to go south, and golf courses, you know, the skills that I built right out of school weren't really that marketable anymore, weren't needed, you know, in the market. So I kind of looked around and said, well, what does my skill set, what could I transition towards that would be, you know, more sustainable for me and a career path? Because I really loved what I was doing. I loved being outside, and I loved recreation. So real smooth transition into parks, which, you know, a lot of my my skill set transferred over as easily to the parks and trails and out open spaces that I've been doing, you know, that type of thing now for close to 20 years. So it was kind of that progression for me from golf course and into parks. But really, it's always been about being outdoors and, you know, providing a space for people to, you know, kind of share my passion. So I love being out and doing it. And so just, you know, being able to share that and create a nice space for people to use and get out and be healthy and active.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, let's start with you, Chris, a little bit about our city parks. I mean, how many do we have in Roseburg?
Yeah, that's a good question, Lisa. We have 20 formal park properties. You know, everybody knows about Stewart Park, Sunshine Park, some of those bigger regional type parks that draw people in from out of the area. But we also have a lot of neighborhood parks that just serve the needs of the folks around the immediate area. So they're smaller. They don't have as many amenities, but they do fill that niche of providing, you know, a outdoor space and some recreational amenities for those folks that maybe don't want to drive to a park.
And do you charge a fee to get into any of the parks?
No, all of our city parks are free. Parking's free. If you know, they don't all have a parking lot, but yeah, there's no charge to go to any of the parks. They're all free of charge.
Great. Is Stewart, and this is kind of off the cuff, but is Stewart Park the only city park that we have on our beautiful river?
Within the
city limits.
Yeah, we have, that's a good question. We do have, you know, Fir Grove, but that's also considered part of the original Stewart Park property. And then we have Gaddis Park, which is a little bit further down the path and also has some riverfront property. But again, I think it's part of that original Stewart Park. So Stewart Park is this large piece of property that encompasses other parks. People may or may not know that. But we have Maselli and Templin, which are a little further down. And Templin actually has a boat launch. So that actually provides, you know, river access. We partner with the Oregon State Marine Board. And that provides people with a way to get their watercraft in and out of the river. But yeah, I think that's all.
And where are those located? I'm learning something right now.
So. Yeah, so we've got Stewart Park, which is right in the heart of town, which is, I believe, Chris, it's almost 400 acres. Is that how big it is? It's quite large.
Yeah, it's well over 200.
Well over 200. And then we also have little small neighborhood parks that are just kind of scattered all around town. So we have, let's see, Eastwood Park is over on the eastern side. We have Beulah Park just north here. And then we also have a few other smaller neighborhood parks along Harvard and up in the northern area. So, yeah, so really of many different sizes, from, you know, large sprawling parks like Stewart all the way down to small neighborhood parks.
And the two that you also mentioned with the boat launch, where are they located?
Yeah, further down the river, I guess it'd be south, off of Maselli Avenue. I'm not even sure the street name's over there, but basically downtown, and then
okay,
as you head towards the river, They're just between like the river and McMenamins.
Okay.
Yeah, if you look west, you'll see I-5. It's just right along the river there. great dog park, I believe.
I was just going to ask, is it by the dog park?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, and great spots to launch your kayak or your boat or what have you and explore the Umpqua.
Terrific. Ah. Well, I'll tell you, and a lot of the folks that are listening, they know and they see me. I use your walking paths all the time, and so does my group, our team. So how far is the walking path go, and do all of our parks have one?
Let's see. I believe if you do the Stewart Park loop, let's see, one loop is about, what is that, about almost 4 miles, I believe?
Two and a half,
okay, yeah. Yeah, and then if you take the that connector that goes south to Gaddis and then beyond, that bike path there, which goes all the way out to Green, I believe, that, how far is that?
Yeah, it goes all the way to Winston. So if you were to start there by Fred Meyer, and it's not continuous, but I'd say over 90% you're on a dedicated path.
Yeah,
which is nice. And you go all the way to Winston. It's 9.78 miles one way. So that's quite a bit. You know, within city limits, I think we have around 6 miles of dedicated multi-use path.
Awesome. And in any of our city parks, guys, do we have any exercise equipment?
Yeah, I think we've got children's playgrounds in most of our parks, Chris. I think that's,
yeah. Yeah, most of our that's right, Eric. Most of our parks do have children's playgrounds. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And then, no, we don't have anything that is specific to adult types of exercises. So that would be something, you know, that may be an opportunity. I'd like to see something like that in the future.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Terrific. And, one of my colleagues asked the question, what is the wayfinding project on the paths?
Yeah, so that project has been in the works for a while now. And basically wayfinding is just a way, it's kind of an official sounding term, but it's just a way for people that are using the path to be able to orient themselves and, figure out where they want to go, what the best way is to get there. It's just a way that folks can navigate themselves through the built environment. So by providing really nice looking signs that are descriptive and as far as locations and destinations and times to get there, it just makes the trail experience more user friendly.
And are you completed with it, or is there a time frame for completion?
Great question, Lisa. So, no, it's been in the works for a while. Right now it's in the design phase. And then the build-out of it is going to be dependent on securing funding. So the plan is to get the design pinned down, which should be real soon, I think, next month or March or April, and then with that design we can go to the funding source, which in this instance will be Travel Oregon. They have a really good robust grant program that is likely to fund this type of project, so it's a good match. We're definitely eligible for that and hope to get that funding, and that funding would then help to pay for, you know, not all of it. Of course the city has their own matching funds, but then that would be how we would pay for that.
Okay, Chris, well, we're going to have to come back, so let's take a short break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Talking Health on Local Talk at 4, brought to you by CHI Mercy Health on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hi, it's Lisa Platt, and we are back with Talking Health presented by CHI Mercy Health. Hey, next week I want you to stay tuned as we will be visiting with the Healthy Kids Outreach Dental Team and what they've been up to this last year, especially with the school-based dental clinics that we have. But today, if you've just tuned in, we are talking with Chris Ammerman and Eric Johnson of the City of Roseburg, and they're doing a great job giving us some information about what's going on in our city park. So thanks, guys, for coming back.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Now, Chris, I kind of interrupted you as we were talking a little bit about the wayfinding project. So why don't you finish up on that, and then I got several more questions for you guys.
Okay. Sure, Lisa. Yeah, your question was about the timing of the project and when it was going to be built, and I was explaining that it's funding dependent. So the city does have some funding set aside, but it's not enough to do it all. What it's enough to do is match a grant that we're hoping to get through Travel Oregon, and that grant cycle opens up this spring or summer, and if we got that grant, then you know, we would be able to start building that project. So I can't really answer your question definitively because it's, like I said, funding dependent.
Sure, sure. Those of us in nonprofit work, we get it. Yeah. Everything's always based upon funding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we mentioned the walking paths. I don't want to make a huge assumption, but mainly they're bike friendly as well, correct?
Yeah, all of our paths are what they call a multi-use path or a shared-use path, and so that means they are open to bikes as well.
So I will tell you, I've noticed recently while we're out doing our morning walking, you've got some mileage markers now. You want to share a little bit about that project?
Yeah, we just rolled out the mileage marker system on most of the used paths within our park system. There's a very popular Stewart Park Green Loop, which is about 2.5 miles round, and it winds through Stewart Park and around the VA building. We also created the downtown yellow route, which spurs off the Green Loop at I-5, and then it terminates at Deer Creek, which is right, kind of shoots you right down to downtown.
So yellow, green, and you two are graduated from OSU. How did this happen?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good thing. We need to lobby for orange and black. That's what we need to do. Thanks for bringing that up.
Well, I had to after you're telling me you both are from OSU. So
well, black, in our defense, black doesn't show up real well on the asphalt.
Okay. That's true. Yeah. Right. Maybe orange, though. Yeah.
But well, yeah, we need to weave some orange in there somewhere.
Yeah, weave some orange in there.
Okay. So what is involved, guys, with the maintenance of these paths?
Maintenance, it's asphalt, so it's built to last and be relatively maintenance free, but yeah, there's sweeping, blowing, keeping it free of debris. There's vegetation mowing and vegetation management on the sides to keep kind of a safe buffer, and of course, a great path it usually has some trees around it, which many of ours do, and that requires maintaining a clearance above the path, and then there's storm cleanup and hazardous tree assessments and so monitoring all of that. So there's a lot to it, but and then of course the asphalt management, crack sealing and fixing, repairing, cold patching, and then as we've been doing in these past few years, replacing paths that have reached the end of their useful life. And so all of that is involved with maintaining the path and keeping it safe and usable for the residents and visitors of Roseburg.
Well, I will say those of us that utilize the it's Green Route through Stewart Park, is that right?
Yeah.
We're truly grateful for the new asphalt and the debris cleanup. I imagine your disc golfers are too.
Yeah. Yeah, we got hit pretty hard this last February with that snowstorm, and so there were lot of trees and debris down throughout not just the park system, but, you know, town as well. So, hats off to the crews that got out and got those things cleaned up so that we could keep using them and enjoying them.
Yep, absolutely. So, guys, being that we're all trying to be healthier and lifestyles, move, be more active, from the city's perspective, why is that so important to our community? And, Eric, you want to take this one?
Well, I think it's, you know, as a city entity, we want to make sure that, you know, our residents are, you know, not only well-informed about what's going on, but, you know, our residents are, you know, making healthy lifestyle choices. So I think that, you know, one of the great things that has happened in the past few years is, you know, the Blue Zones Project has come into town, and some of the great work that they've done, just grassroots marketing, you know, getting boots on the ground and educating people about, healthier lifestyle alternatives. So I think that, you know, from the city's perspective, although we don't, you know, directly manage them or directly work with them, we definitely support them in their efforts.
Chris, you want to add anything?
I don't know. Eric hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think for me, it's a quality of life thing. It's a livability thing. We want to be healthy and active. We want our citizens to be healthy and active. It just promotes overall wellness. And then, you know, if you're feeling good, you're going to be more productive at work. And it's just going to carry over to every aspect of your life. You're going to be nicer generally, so you have a better attitude, you'll be happier, and even economic impact. I mean, you look at places around the state or even the country that are doing well financially, it's because they have great infrastructure, park infrastructure, trail infrastructure, so people get out and enjoy doing things and being active, and it just promotes that lifestyle.
Are there other activities that the city of Roseburg encourages our community to participate in or you are providing that we don't know about?
Yeah.
And here's an opportunity to get that word out?
Yeah. We definitely have strong partnerships with other organizations, nonprofits in town that offer recreation opportunities. An easy one is the YMCA, the Roseburg School District, our local Boys and Girls Club. We definitely support those organizations as far as, getting the word out. You know, some of the things that I do is our social media, so doing posts about, you know, upcoming, you know, recreational opportunities that are happening in our parks. You know, that's definitely something that we support and want to continue to support, because it goes back to kind of what we said earlier, you know, when our residents are getting out and enjoying all the great recreational opportunities, they're healthier and they feel better, and they're going to make better, well-informed decisions as residents of Roseburg.
Okay. And you touched briefly on the Blue Zones Project. Can you talk a little bit more about the built environments and then exactly if there is strategy between Blue Zones and the city to continue to move forward with increasing our built environments?
Yeah, so that's a good question. That's actually a very good question for our community development director, Stuart Cowie. He is actually on the built environment committee, and I believe he's also on the steering committee. But I do know that he sits on those committees, and I know our city manager, Nikki Messenger, also attends those meetings. So they definitely have a seat at that table, making sure that Blue Zones is on track, making sure that their goals are being achieved, because, you know, we understand that, you know, as a city entity, you know, we definitely have a say in, in the health and well-being of our citizens. Although we're not the be-all, end-all, we're definitely one of those critical seats at the table.
And, Chris, you made a great comment about being healthier and happier works in tangent with economic development. Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Sure. Well, so, you know, a great park will increase property values around that park. you know, if it's well maintained and well liked, and programming is also important too. You know, it's one thing to have a nice space, but if no one's using that space in a positive way, then that can tend to deteriorate and it could go the other way. So I think those things go hand in hand. But yeah, it's been proven too that just having a connection to nature is beneficial. And you look at areas around the state or even the country, like I said earlier, that are doing well financially, and they have those great spaces, and it's well known, and people come to those spaces to, recreate and enjoy the outdoors, and that just, like I said, it can increase your property values, which will then increase tax revenue, and it can snowball.
Yeah, and you know, I would also say that it definitely boosts civic pride and community pride, you know, as people get outside and, you know, explore Stewart Park and all the different parks that we mentioned here in this conversation. That emboldens a sense of, wow, you know, I live here, you know, these parks are in my neighborhood, and I get to, you know, come out and, play soccer in this field whenever I want to. So people, you know, get behind that, and they feel, you know, they feel more a part of a community when they do those things.
Well, and I'm also sure it helps with recruitment for positions that we have in our community that are not necessarily filled sometimes. So there, and then I would say for the well-being index, just you both mentioned about community pride, so I think that's really important too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, guys, well, how about this? We'll take our second break. We've been listening to Talking Health on Local Talk at 4, brought to you by CHI Mercy Health on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hi, we are back with Talking Health, and we are here with Chris and Eric. They're talking to me about all the opportunities we have in Roseburg to be healthy and to move. So, guys, we kind of skipped you, Chris, when I was talking to Eric about the Blue Zone's involvement, and I believe you sit on the Built Environment Committee. So you want to update us with a couple of things?
Yeah, sure. And it's not that Eric got anything wrong. I mean, it's definitely a grassroots.
Good. I didn't get anything wrong. Good.
It's definitely, you know, community-driven, and but Blue Zones is just a great platform that kind of gets the city involved, gets the community involved. And there's so many different facets to Blue Zones. You know, they have all these different goals about finding one's purpose, healthy eating, being active, you know, a reduction in tobacco use, all these different things. But one of the things is built environment, and I've had the opportunity to sit on that committee. And, you know, at the onset of Blue Zones coming here, it was close to 3 years ago now, built environment had these goals of, you know, these policy changes that would affect our built environment and would indeed make the healthy choice the easy choice. And so now that we're, you know, 2.5+ years into that, we've accomplished 5 or 6 of those goals. Some of those examples would be, let me see here, the safe routes to schools, housing diversity, Pine Street waterfront, community garden, and a shade policy. And so there's a few more to go that they want to be able to accomplish. But, you know, the city and other members of the community, there's some folks from the county that sit on that community and some other organizations, and the community's well represented. But, you know, working together, it's been nice to see that progress over that time frame.
Yep, it's terrific. So you worked then with Kirk a lot.
Yes, Kirk and Jess and Juliet and John. And I think they have a new employee now.
Yeah. That's my fiance. So, yeah.
Oh,
hopefully she's not causing too much trouble like she does at home.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not that I've seen, no.
We put Eric on the spot.
That's okay. She puts me on the spot all the time,
oh,
so that's okay.
So, guys, let's shift to the summer. And I know that there's some different clinics that go on in the park. So who wants to take some of those exercise programs?
Yeah, Lisa, I can address that. So, you know, Parks and Rec in the city of Roseburg is quite small. We do what we can, but basically we fill gaps. So what our system looks like is there are nonprofit organizations out in the community that do great things and provide the services that we can't provide ourselves. But what we do provide, and we have an agreement with them, that they use our parkland or our facility, and then they provide that recreational opportunity or whatever the case may be. So having said all that, we do offer a few things in-house. One of them would be right now we have a low-impact fitness class, and that runs year-round. During this time of year, when it's not so nice outside, it is held at the Boys and Girls Club. So we have a good partnership with them. And that is exactly like it sounds, low impact fitness. And that's Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 to 9:45 at the Boys and Girls Club. As soon as the weather gets nice, which, cross our fingers, will be, you know, end of May, because that's when we switch to outside. So hopefully it's nice or we will be out in the weather. But so end of May, like right after Memorial Day, that class shifts to outside, and it is near the Arts Center in the Fir Grove area. And so that's one of our programs. It's actually year-round, but, you know, just the summertime brings it outside into the park. We also have free yoga in the park, which comes up in the summertime, starting about mid-June to about mid-August, and that is down to the east of the half shell, along the river there. It's a beautiful spot, and I've heard we get as many as 50 people there to enjoy that. And that's on every Saturday at 10 a.m. is free yoga in the park.
Yeah, and they're about to get 51 people because I love yoga, and when I found out that we have free yoga in the park in the summers, that's really cool. So I look forward to that.
Yeah, I just started yoga. I don't know how far I'm going to continue with it, but several of us just started it, and we're having our aches and pains. So, but that doesn't mean we're going to give up. So.
What's that term? No pain, no gain.
Yeah, I get it.
I've been trying to debunk that one, but yeah.
So are there a fee to participate in the low impact?
$1.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We just try to, you know, basically pay for the instructor at that point. So if we get 20 participants, we break even in that. That's good. We just want to provide that service to folks.
Now, and this question is off the cuff too, but does the city provide intramural sports? So, or are all of those just independent associations?
That's correct. Yeah, all of the youth sports programs, the I don't know that there's any. Well, we have a softball, adult league softball and stuff. So all of those are through those independent organizations. And like I said, we have an agreement with them to use our facility, and then they run that program. And, you know, hats off to those folks because, you know, they're all volunteers, and they're just doing good things for our community to help, you know, in tune with our subject matter here to be healthy and active and be out and enjoying the outdoors.
So when you start your outside programs, do you have a website, and will all of that information be out there?
Yeah, so our website is cityofroseburg.org, and we have information on our event calendar. So folks can go to cityofroseburg.org. It's actually a brand new website we just implemented this past fall, so it's mobile friendly, so you can access it from your phone easily, and that's where you can learn more information.
Awesome. So how long has Roseburg been offering these summer classes? Now, I've seen the outdoor yoga, but I don't know that I've seen the low-impact training. So
that's a good question. I don't know the exact answer. It's been around as long as I've been here, and quite a bit longer, I think. So we're talking maybe 8 or 9 or 10 years. And we do offer other programs, so movies in the park, and some other, and in the summers there's also a Monday night women's golf, so that gets that's for ladies who, you know, maybe are interested in playing golf, or, you know, already play, but it kind of takes the pressure off, so it's all women, and they can just go out and have a good time, and it's a good way to introduce maybe friends to the game that are maybe intimidated by playing in a foursome with men. So
it's at Stewart Park Golf Course?
Yes, and that's Monday evenings in the summertime. I believe it starts right after 5 o'clock.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I knew about the league there on Tuesdays or Thursdays. Couldn't do that because of the job, but I didn't know about Monday nights.
There you go.
Learn something new every day, right?
I am. And who do we need to get in touch if there are women out there that would like to get involved?
You can contact the golf course directly, or you know, I believe that'll also be on our website as time gets closer. Information on that.
So yoga, now golf, and the low impact training. Anything else that people need to know about? And is there, you know, fees, et cetera, for participating in these programs? You
yoga,
said $1 for the low impact.
And yeah. I believe the yoga class is free.
Yoga's free. Yeah. The golf is, I think, $15. So pays $15 or $20, I'm not sure, but pays for green fees and a cart. And then, you know, speaking of other events, this weekend, actually, February 1st, we are having our geocaching event kickoff, and that's something we do every year, and it really lasts throughout the year, but this Saturday is the kickoff for the event. So I don't know if you're familiar with geocaching, Lisa, but it's basically a high-tech scavenger hunt, and people will come, and it's at the Roseburg Public Library at 9 o'clock is when we start. That's when passports are handed out, and that all the passport means is it's just a kind of has your questions that brings you to certain locations, and then you answer those questions once you're there, and then you bring that back and you get a coin. The neat thing about it is it brings people in from out of area, and even people that have lived here their whole lives will do it, and it'll actually bring them to a place that maybe they've never been before. We've gotten those comments too, and it's just fun to see that, and it's for all ages. And anyway, that's talking about other programs that's coming right up. So.
Yeah. You know, we're really excited about it. It's actually the 10th year that we've been doing this.
Wow.
So the 10th anniversary. And what folks get at the end of the treasure hunt is a collectible geo coin. So it's a nice coin with a theme design on it. So there's a new design every year. And so the design for 2020, we'll announce that on the day of the event, so folks will get to see what the geocoin looks like. So yeah, so if you fill out your passport and return it to City Hall, you can get one of these nice shiny geocoins, and there's only 200 that are made every year. So when we run out, that's it. So they're a collectible item.
Any fee?
No fee, I don't believe. Yeah.
Okay. So well, at first family. I thought you were gonna say something about the Super Bowl, so I'm glad you went to the geocaching and not the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, that's right, there's that thing too.
Yeah, there is that thing. All right guys, we're gonna take our last break, so stay tuned. You've been listening to Talking Health on Talk Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for joining us today. We are back with Eric Johnson, City Communications Specialist, and Chris Ammerman, the Parks Program Manager for the City of Roseburg, and they have agreed to do a wrap-up with me for the end of the show. So, guys, you're almost done. And you guys have done a great job, let me tell you.
Oh, thank you.
So, Chris, the splash pad, that's got to be a huge hit over by the Art Center.
Yes, it has been. I think it opened in June 2018, and hours. It's open Memorial Day through Labor Day. People always want to know that, so I just want to point that out. But so those days, the last two summers, has just been packed. It opens around 10 a.m. in the morning, and it's open till just before dusk. And I want to say there's hundreds of people there each day throughout the day on nice days, and those days are generally pretty nice. So
nice.
Yeah, it's been a big hit.
And there's no issue with patrolling it from the time the park closes to the next day that you're aware of?
That I'm aware of. I mean, I think people do a pretty good job of policing themselves and each other. You know, we haven't had to have an attendant there. If we did, it would be difficult because, you know, that funding is always an issue. So that's something that we weren't sure going in, you know, because this is our first splash pad. So we hoped that it would be able to kind of run itself. The system, it works really well, and we haven't had any, you know, issues, knock on wood, any major issues with it. It does what it's supposed to do. And then, like I said, I think people generally kind of look out for each other. And sure, we get some phone calls on it with some issues here and there, but for the most part, it's kind of performed how we hoped it would perform.
Terrific. And on the break, you mentioned a program called Parks RX. Briefly talk about it, and then we can talk further about it, because I think it's something interesting that we, from a healthcare system, would like to talk further about it with you.
Yeah, Lisa, so you mentioned during the break about what you do outside of the radio show and writing grants and getting funding, and I do a lot of the same thing. So we got to talking, and I asked if you had heard of Parks RX, and what that is just like it sounds. It, you know, instead of going to the doctor to get some drugs to fix your whatever it is, the doctor would write you a prescription to say, hey, why don't you go walk in a park every day for a month and come back and see me? And, you know, and there's more to it than that. You know, I've just done some light reading on it, and I know it's going on in other places in the country, but to me, it just sounds really cool because you're actually getting at the root of the problem. You're actually doing preventative work if you're actually going to do that instead of, you know, living a lifestyle that maybe isn't super healthy and then just going to get the Band-Aid to fix it.
Love it. Love it. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but if I go to the doctor and he tells me to go take a hike, I'd have something else to say.
Eric, you're very funny. So I'm going to ask you this question, Mr. Johnson. Why is the city making an investment into wellness for our residents?
Well, I think that that's a very good question. You know, I think with the, you know, the things that the city is doing currently with, you know, some of the classes that Chris had mentioned and, you know, also being kind of a vehicle, if you will, for these other programs that are going on throughout town. You know, as Chris had mentioned, you know, we own a lot of these different parks and facilities in town, but we don't have the staff to manage these programs. So when we partner with these organizations like Boys and Girls Club and other nonprofits in town to offer these programs, it really enriches the community and gets people out. It gets them recreating. It gets them, you know, doing outdoor activities, which is going to be promoting health and wellness. So.
We have a character outside the studio, so...
I was looking at your facial expression. Someone was looking at you.
She's a character, so... Well,
yeah.
Listen, guys, I do want to thank you both for being here, Eric and Chris. Next week, please stay tuned or tune in, and you'll hear from Trina Gwaltney, our program manager for the Healthy Kids Outreach Program. And if you have other ideas for future shows, you can always, though my colleague isn't in the studio today, you can always email her at mercycommunityrelations@chiwest.com. Or she loves to get Facebook messages. Her name is Kathleen Nickel. Feel free to Facebook her a message. Talking Health is brought to you by CHI Mercy Health every Monday, and we are pleased to do this here on Local Talk at 4 KQEN. So remember, on behalf of Mercy Medical Center, be kind to one another, eat healthy, exercise when you can, and have a happy, healthy week.
The program was paid for by CHI Mercy Health Mercy Medical Center. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.